Am I on?
Yes.
All right. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, I have ever offended you, temporal and eternal punishment. Sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A little while and you will see me no longer. I will extol you, my God and King. Every day I will bless you. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord.
And all your saints shall bless you.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. A little while and you will see me no longer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you made the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 8. Beginning with verse 26. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he arose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, About whom I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from John's letter, 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God, and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us join in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Please be seated. I hear some hymnals being closed and put away. I would probably say that's all right. But I'm going to ask you to open to a catechism section with me. Page 323, I'm guessing. 321 or 323. I'll give you a second to get that up. And at the third article of the Apostles' Creed, this is what we learned in catechism. So I want you to read it with me. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sin and the sins of all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Have you ever grafted any kind of plant? It could be an olive tree, perhaps. How about a vineyard? Any of you familiar with vineyards? Well, I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about it. I'm actually going to just tell you, go on to YouTube and look up grafting a vine into a branch, rather, into a vine. And you'll see these vine dressers showing you how it's done. But basically, the vine, there's a kind of a V cut into it. And the branch, it's cut so that it has kind of a pointy end in which it inserts. And then the vine dresser tenderly and with care wraps that to keep it together until it eventually binds together. It's very interesting. And I think it might have even been from this passage that one day I said, well, how do you actually graft a branch? I had an apple tree and when I lived in Winchester, Virginia, that was at the place we were renting. Now, the apple tree was a hybrid. The man who had owned that property before that current owner when I was there came from Pennsylvania and had an apple orchard. And he planted all kinds of trees in that yard. There were pear trees. There was a Japanese plum tree. There was one apple tree. I was told it was a hybrid that the owner, he had grafted these two different kinds of tree together somehow. I don't know how that is done, where you wind up growing this one tree. But nevertheless, it was very good. Unfortunately, the fruit wasn't really taken care of. There were a lot of worms. So you could eat around them, I suppose. But not good. Jesus talks about us in this fashion, as a vine, the true vine. And you kind of have to go back into the Old Testament to around Isaiah chapter 5, and it talks about God planting a vineyard, and that you know, God took care of this vineyard, and he came to it, and he was looking for good fruit, but it only bared bitter fruit. It was wild instead of being cultivated like we would do, right? So, we hear also now Jesus talking about himself being the true vine. Now, in the Old Testament, the vine would have been Jerusalem, Israel, Jacob. You know, but Jesus is the true Israel. He is the true Jacob. He is the true son of David. And he is the vine. Now, the difference between the vine and the branch is that the vine is the source. It's where, you know, if you go further down the plant, you get into the roots. That's important. It's important for the branches. Otherwise, the branches won't be able to survive. They won't live. But Jesus is not with sin. Therefore, he is the true vine. He is the one who comes and nourishes us. God brings us into this vine. We don't choose to come and be part of this vine. A branch can't choose to do anything, can it? A branch just lays there until someone does something with it. Now, if it's still a green branch, you can graft it, and that's what the vineyard does, the vine dresser. Jesus says the vine dresser is God. God calls us. That's why I wanted us to look at the third article there. How do we come to faith? Well, it's not by our doing or our choice, but it comes from the work of the Holy Spirit, who calls us, each one of us, and gathers us into a community, this community, which is the body of Christ. We are made partakers of the vine. We have no right to it, though, do we? Because we are with sin. But God grafts us into Christ for his glory, so that we can do the works that are pleasing to him, to bear good fruit. In Galatians, Paul says, what are these fruits? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is fruit that flows from a heart that trusts Jesus, that clings to his death for life, that believes his word. The branch that remains connected to the vine is a healthy branch capable of bearing much fruit. That's what we are. We are now part of the vine, the true vine. And because we are part of that vine, we produce good fruit as long as we remain in this vine. But if we should unfortunately become like Israel did many times and turned away from God, and I mean turned to idolatry, the worship of false gods, and paid God but only lip service and really no true worship at all, then they would be pruned out. We read the history of the Jews, or rather the Hebrew people, and how often they were taken away from their place because of their sin. But God was always ready to bring back those who called upon him, who turned back to him. And he would deliver them, and he would plant them once again in that vineyard. We are called to be God's people. We are called into a community. We cannot be apart from the vine. If we are apart from the vine, we have no life in us. If we are apart from the vine, then we are led away to worldly teachings. we are led back to darkness. We are led away from life and enter again into death. And the only one that can save us is the one whom we heard of in our lesson, Jesus Himself. What does Jesus say to His disciples when He talks about Himself being the vineyard and they are the branches? He is the vine and they are the branches. He says to them, "You are already clean." Why are they already clean? Because of the word I proclaim to you. It is the same for everyone. It is God's word working in our hearts. It is God's word cleansing us. We see an example of that in the book of Acts, when Philip comes to the Ethiopian eunuch. Now this man is a Gentile, but apparently one who worships the God of Israel. So he is a convert. And he is going home. And he's riding in his chariot and he's reading. And he's reading, we are told, a special passage from Isaiah. And in that passage, we hear him read out loud to Philip. And Philip begins to teach the eunuch, who asks Philip, who is this writer talking about? Himself or someone else? Philip has this wonderful opportunity to declare to him, from this scripture passage, from the Word of God, the truth of who Jesus is. Since he's leaving Israel, he's apparently Jerusalem, he apparently had been there for Passover. So he would be aware of the things that took place where Jesus was crucified, died, and buried. But for him, that apparently ended with that, not the resurrection story, not yet, but it kind of ends the same way this Isaiah passage is in. For his life is taken away from the earth. Now, one could read that and say, well, he died and that's it. But no, there's more to the story. And so Philip tells him the rest of the story. He goes back into the scripture and he points out the things that have taken place. He points out about Jesus and the resurrection. He points out these things and the eunuch believes. It is the word of God that cleanses his heart. Already he was a believer, but did not know who the Messiah was. But now he does. And faith is created in his heart. And it's the eunuch who sees the water and says, "Look, water. Why can't I be baptized?" And there was absolutely no reason not to do so. For baptism is for God's people. It is in baptism that we are grafted into the vine. It is in baptism we are sealed in this new covenant with our Lord Jesus. So they go into the water, and he is baptized. We are told immediately, Philip is taken away by the Spirit. There's more work to be done, more places to go for him. And he is taken to the next place as he works his way to Caesarea, proclaiming the good news. Jesus is alive. Kind of reminded me a little bit about Jesus when he was baptized in the River Jordan. We remember the Holy Spirit came down. The heavens were open. The Holy Spirit descended as a dove. And God spoke, "This is my Son. This is my Son," God said, "in whom I love." But we're also told the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness because there was more to do. His job, his work that he came to do was to fulfill all of Scripture, to be the true vine, to be the one who can take away our sins and Him alone. For there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. No other way, no other possibility for salvation apart from Jesus. So Jesus goes into the wilderness to continue why He came. Likewise, Philip, there's no time to just sit there and perhaps take in the moment, maybe have a little more conversation with the eunuch. No, he is immediately taken out into another place by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is always leading us to produce good fruit. And that doesn't mean we are necessarily evangelists. Perhaps we are in our own way. I think we all are. Parents are, as they teach their children about Christ and about the resurrection. Fellow people, wherever you are working, you may be an evangelist there. Maybe to one person, not the whole office, for instance, but for one person, perhaps, who comes to you and is confused, perhaps, by a passage of Scripture, and they happen to know you are a Christian, and maybe you can help them understand it. Because that's how the church grows. It always grows through the Word of God. It is through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is active and working to bring us together as a new community. That's how it's always been from the beginning. The Holy Spirit calls and gathers. He enlightens us. We are made into His body. You produce good fruit. I produce good fruit. The wonderful thing about it is we may not even be aware that we're doing any such thing as producing fruit at the time. It might be a kind word spoken to someone, and we might not think much about it, but yet remember Jesus says, even a cup of water given by one of these little ones, that is something to praise God about. The little things matter. Going into the world and proclaiming the good news to one matters. But above all, God wants us to be good fruit, producing good fruit of the kind that I spoke of from Galatians. That is a new life that we live. It is in that way that people see who you belong to. Now, Jesus also spoke about love, and John speaks about love in his letter. We hear a lot about love, that we are to love one another, that we are to love our neighbors. And that doesn't mean we get to pass over some neighbors, but acts of love are important in the Christian's life because it is through that that we give ourselves in a sacrificial way, in a way in which we are praising God and glorifying Him and bringing glory to His name in so doing. The world sees that. And they may wonder, what is it about you that causes you to act in a way that seems to be contrary to this world? And there it is. People soon find out, because we are glad to share with them the good news. And as we share that word, the Holy Spirit is calling that person or those people. He is calling them to join the rest of God's community, to believe and doubt no more. So we are called, gathered, we are His people, and we stand together, united in faith, believing in the words that have been given to us by the apostles, their testimony, their witness. We stand believing the words of the prophets in the Old Testament, in all of Scripture, really. For it is in all of Scripture that the Holy Spirit continues to strengthen us. We come here today to be strengthened, to worship, yes, but to be strengthened by God. We know we need God's power. He is our source for life and to be able to do those things that bring God glory. When we are living in such a way, God is quick and anxious to give us that which we need. And Jesus even said that, didn't he? If you are mine and you stay in this relationship, then you can ask the Father for whatever it is you need, and He will give it to you. Now, that's all in relationship to our spiritual life, not in terms of necessarily our physical life, apart from food, clothing, shelter, and those necessities. I'm not talking about going to God and asking for some, you know, Elon Musk special car. Would be nice, but God doesn't work that way. He is anxious for us to have those things that will benefit us and benefit His people. It is never just to benefit us alone, but to benefit the church. And so we are gathered because we cannot be the church if we are not gathered together. We cannot help those among us who are hurting because we won't know when they are hurting. We cannot lift up prayers when they are sick because we don't know they are sick. We cannot be there to rejoice with them over those things that are causing them great joy because we don't know of those events in their lives. And doing such things are part of the gifts that we have as branches to the vine. But when we gather together, we are more than connected. We cry with those who mourn. We sorrow with those who are in sorrow of any kind. We rejoice with those who are rejoicing. We lift up our gifts to those who are in need. If it is food, if it is clothing, if it is shelter, if it is any kind of help at all, as the body of Christ, when we gather, we can reach out to one another because we will be aware of one another's needs. And that is what God speaks of when He says to love one another. It is looking out for the other Christian and not worrying about your own needs because they will be taken care of because other Christians are looking out for your welfare as well. And not to mention that, but there's Jesus also. Now let's mention it. So there we are. We are God's people gathered together in community. We are members not of looking back in history at an event that happened long ago in which Christ is dead. No, we know He is alive. We worship our living God, our living Savior. For Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise for the prayers of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have grafted us into the vine of your Son. Prune us and cut off from us all sin and dead works, that we may always draw life from your Son and produce the fruits of faith and good works. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your only Son came in the flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. Protect us from all false teaching in the spirit of the Antichrist, that we may always confess Christ to be our only true God and remain faithful to Him. Lord, in your mercy. Father and teacher of all truth, guide teachers and catechumens in your word, that they may increase in understanding, faith, and love for Christ, the Lamb led to the slaughter in our place and risen from the dead. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, give health and guidance to our president and all in authority, that they may serve honorably in accord with your good order. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you hear and answer your children in their hour of need. We lift up to you Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Carol and Larry Foltz, Jan Johnson, Annie Kornick, Peggy Spitzenberger, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Jenny Turner, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Roche, Robert and Donna Knoth. Grant that they would bear their crosses with faith, ever looking to you, and so fix their hearts where true joy is found. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you are love, and always reveal your love through your Son. Grant that all who come to your feast of love may worthily eat of Christ's body and blood, so that whoever abides in this love forever abides in you, and you in him. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Hear and answer our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ, and your saints shall bless you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. In you, in body and soul, unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace and joy. Please rise. Now lettest thou thy servant. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Am I on? Okay. I'm on. I want to invite everybody back for a fellowship with refreshments after the church, after dismissal. Also, today at 10:30, we're going to have our voters meeting, and I've decided to hold it in the fellowship hall, so y'all won't have to make that long trek back down here. Those of us that don't get around as good as we used to appreciate that. Would there be any other announcements? If not, let's conclude with hymn 466.
Five. You got it.
Okay. Please rise.